I want to ask you this question. What's the best news you've ever gotten? What's the best news you've ever gotten? It might be like we've got the Wilsons here. They've actually have a grandson, a nephew that has been in the fray of all the conflict in the Middle East. He's in the army. And you know what? They attacked the very base that he was in. And some people were killed, but we've been praying angels over that. Great news. It's about time for him to come back to the States. That is great news. Amen? If that's your soldier boy, that is some of the best news you could ever get. Amen? Maybe your greatest news you ever got was this. It's not cancer. Anybody ever got that when you thought it was? Raise your hand. Anybody? There's several. Or, here's another one. We got all of it. Anybody ever got that diagnosis? Amen? We got all of it. That's awesome news. If you're the one that's being operated on for cancer, is that not awesome news? Great news. Here's one. We're pregnant. Anybody ever heard that one? Come on, raise your hands, mamas and daddies. And if you're a grandparent, I was tempted to bring the video of my wife getting the news that we were going to be grandparents. You and I may show it to you yet, because I'm going to be preaching about good news for the next 3 or 4 weeks. And I may show it to you yet. I should have done it today because she's not here. But I know word will get back to her. But let me just describe it. We were in our backyard, and I think it was Mother's Day last year, and she gave our daughter gave my wife a gift, and she pulled out, and it was a little baby onesie that says, "You can quit asking now." And I don't know if any of you have ever seen my wife this excited, but she was jumping up and down like a pogo stick, clapping, crying, screaming. Some of the best news she's ever received. Here's one, and I hope none of you have had to have this one, but hearing the judge say, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty. As good as all those announcements are, as good as they are, all of that good news is temporary. All of that good news is partial. The soldier may have to go back. The cancer could return. The pregnancy may have problems. The not guilty verdict covers illegal things, but maybe not spiritual. All of those things are temporary and partial. Good news, pleasing, brings excitement, brings pleasure, brings some happiness to our lives, but it's all partial. It may brighten our lives, but it does not deal with the deeper issues of meaning and purpose and peace. I saw a street preacher on Facebook the other night. He was trying to explain to somebody he was talking to why we should want to follow Jesus, even though following Jesus doesn't erase all of our sufferings. And the girl's query was something like this: why should I follow Jesus when he promises me a cross? Why should I follow Jesus when he's not just going to fix all the painful things in my life? Why? He did a pretty good job of explaining it. And really, that's what I want to explain to you this morning, because what I'm going to be preaching for the next several weeks is the gospel. The gospel, the word means what? What? Come on, a little louder. What does it mean? Good news. See, all of that other good news doesn't touch the deepest need of humans' hearts because of this. And let me just explain this. You've heard this explained many times, many ways, but I'm going to do it one more time. Because of Adam and Eve's rebellion against God in the garden at the very beginning of humanity, and because of the destruction of sin that twisted the whole cosmos and plunged mankind, every one of us, into to darkness and despair and evil because of that moment. A wall went up between us and God. A wall. An impenetrable barrier went up between man and our Maker. It's just like if I cut this little finger off and I laid it over there and left it there long enough, what's going to happen to that finger? You know, it's going to die. What's it going to do first? It's going to start shriveling. It's going to turn black. But if it is cut off from the life source long enough, that little finger is going to turn dark. It's going to shrivel. It's going to die. It's going to rot. I want you to hear me. I'm not going to tell you anything you hadn't heard today, but I am going to tell you what the Spirit of God has put in my heart to tell you, and it's this. You and I were cut off from God. And we were rotting in our sin. You say, oh, I got saved when I was 7 years old. That's my testimony, by the way. No, I said it just a few weeks ago. I'll say it again. That didn't give me a lot of time to get all mixed up in wine, women, and song, as the saying goes. But you want to know something? I was lost. I was cut off from the life, the abundant life that Jesus promised in John 10:10. I was cut off. You say, but you didn't do anything wrong. It wasn't your fault. You were born into sin. Yes, I was, and so were you. We were all born cut off from our Father. A wall went up between God and man. And anything cut off from the life source is certain to experience inevitable death, decay, destruction, and despair. And there are no exceptions. Romans 5, 12 through 14. I just want to read this to you if we've got it. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. In other words, I was born a sinner, but at some point in my life, I cooperated with that condition of sin. I became a willful participant in my sinful condition, and so did you. Death came to all people because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there's no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. You know what this scripture tells us is this, is that because of Adam's sin, we were all cut off. I just want you to see it in the scriptures. Say, boy, we went from good news to bad news. I just want to say this, there's no exceptions to that truth. Sin infected every human through Adam. Everything beautiful, everything good, everything wise, everything fulfilling, everything loving became subjected to the stained and strained motives of the flesh. It became subjected to compromise results and empty outcomes because we were all cut off. I want you to look at the person beside you and say, he's talking about me. Tell them, he's talking about me. Seriously, tell them. Some of you need to say this. He's talking about me. Of course, he's talking about you too. He's talking about me. I was cut off. I just want you to take a little imaginary journey with me for a moment. I want you to imagine there is this huge fortress with walls a mile high and a mile thick, and you can't get over them, under them, around them, can't get through the gate. And inside this fortress is everything beautiful, good, lovely, fulfilling, pleasing, wholesome. Everything light and joy is inside this fortress. And you're on the outside. in darkness. You're on the outside in despair, looking for every substitute you can find to try to imitate what your heart tells you is on the other side of that wall. So you try every substitute you can find to scratch that eternal itch that was created within you as a human being in the image of God. You were created with a longing for meaning and purpose and peace and beauty and goodness that only God can supply. Only God. Say it with me. Only God. So here you are on the outside, craving those things that you were created to need and crave. And you've tried to scale the wall. You've tried to tunnel under it. You've tried to go around it without success. You've tried every way in your human power to satisfy your soul without success. Oh, you can anesthetize that itch in your soul. You can fill it with more money. You can fill it with more pleasure. You can fill it with more of this, more people, more that, more possessions, more vacations. You can fill it with all kinds of things. But it never penetrates to the depth of what your soul was made for. And you wait. And you look. And you try without success for generations, for hundreds of years, for thousands of years, with just faint hints that any such thing as your heart craves is even available to a human being. You know, it's hard to believe that there was a kind of a historical manifestation of such a wall. Some of you gray-haired people remember the Berlin Wall. And if you were alive in 1989, you saw our president say to the head of Russia, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall." And I had the privilege of watching on the news as a wall that had been there for almost 50 years, it was about 35 to 40 years, had separated East Germany from West Germany. On one side was darkness and despair and poverty and enslavement. On the other side was life and prosperity and freedom. And there came that moment. You see, people had risked their lives trying to climb this wall. People had been shot dead trying to tunnel under this wall. People, families were separated by this wall. And darkness was one side, dominated one side. And light and hope and promise for the future dominated the other side of this wall. But there came that day when the wall was torn down. For us, it didn't mean a whole lot because we all grew up in freedom. But for the German people particularly, for those in communist Europe and those in free Europe, it's one of those moments they'll never forget. It's really a metaphor for what I'm talking about with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because here's the reality. You and I were on the wrong side of the wall. Until somebody tore it down and built a bridge between us and all of the wonderful goodness and beauty that comes through a man, really. And his name is Jesus. You see, the gospel, the best good news ever, is what I just described to you. We were cut off. We were destined for hell. You don't hear that word even said much in churches anymore. We were destined for eternally being cut off from the life of God. but Jesus. But Jesus. So the day comes when the wall is torn down, a bridge is built by the King, and we simply have to trust Him with the care and control as we walk across the bridge of truth to have access to all the beauty and goodness we were designed for. And it's free. You see, we could never buy passage into this fortress of goodness. We could never pay with our lives even to tear that wall down. We could never build the bridge that gives us access to what our hearts were made for. We could not do it. Would you look at that person beside you and tell them, we couldn't do it? Tell them, we couldn't do it. We could not do it. We could not. The good news is that Jesus could. And Jesus did. In the words of Galatians 4:4, I think we've got that scripture. But when the set time, or it says in another version, in the fullness of time, when the set time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Hallelujah. That's all. I mean, I just want you to know, at the right time in human history, God took on flesh. God lived Jesus lived the perfect life. He associated with human beings forever. No, He's still associated with us. Evidently, He still had nail scars after the resurrection. He is still associated with humans forever. He lived the perfect life. He died a substitutionary death to open your way and my way into that fortress of love and beauty and goodness. He rose from the dead to prove He was who He says He was, and He did what He said He would do, and what was available to us that we sang about for about 30 minutes this morning. And then He ascended to the right hand of the Father, where He ever lives to make intercession for you. That's the best news ever. You say, why are you're preaching to the choir, preacher? Jesus walked into His home synagogue one day. They handed Him the scroll of Isaiah. And He read the words that JC and Laura read just at the beginning of this service. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because He has given me the ability to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the broken and set at liberty the captive, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the vengeance of our God, to restore ancient ruins, to give a spirit of joy and celebration to those who are in mourning. All of those things, Jesus said, and then He closed the scroll and He handed it back to the guy and He said this, today, this is fulfilled in your hearing. What was He saying? I am the gospel. I am the good news. I am fulfilling everything in the plan of salvation that God had begun even in the Garden of Eden when He told the serpent, you will bruise his heel, but he will crush your head. The seed of that woman, and that seed was Jesus Christ. You see, God, before the foundations of the world, the Lamb was slain in God's mind. He wasn't caught off guard by Adam and Eve's sin. He wasn't caught off guard by the darkness and the destruction and the despair and the decay that sin would bring. And in the fullness of time, He brought His own Son into this world. And He tore the wall down and built the bridge. And because of that, you and I have access to everything. All the goodness and beauty of God is available to those who will put themselves in His care and control in faith. There's other scriptures here. 2 Corinthians 4:3-7. I'm not even going to read it. I'm just going to tell you, Paul is talking about the gospel, and he says, some minds are blinded to the truth of the gospel, but I'm telling you that this gospel is the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He, in another place, he calls it the glorious gospel. Why? This is all about Jesus, who he is, what he means to you and me. God, Jesus is the good news. And he has torn the wall down and built the bridge. Romans 5:15 says this. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to many? I just want to deal with this one question for a few more minutes. Why is this news so good? And now here's the pastor coming out, because some of us don't act like this news is all that great. Well, let's get real. Some of us act like this is just old hat. Some of you have been sitting there this morning saying, yep, I know that, got that, heard it, checked the box. Now what? Tell me something new. Tell me something tantalizing. Tell me something enthralling. The gospel is the most enthralling news mankind could ever hear. And the gospel is not just for those who are still outside the wall. The gospel is the truth that gives you the assurance that no matter where you're at or what you're going through, the risen Jesus, that is the creator and controller of all that is, you have him. And there is nothing that should be able to make you despair, give up, or cave in, or run back outside the wall and start picking your substitutes up again. Some of us have lost the wonder of this news. Can I tell you? If you've lost the wonder of this good news, you're very unlikely to share it with anybody else. If you've lost the wonder of this news, you're very unlikely to face any kind of pushback because of your faith. If you've lost the wonder of this good news, you're very unlikely to pay any kind of price to keep walking with a nail-scarred one. How good is this news? And why is it so I was going to use the word stinking, but that's probably not appropriate in that phrase. So good. Well, I'm glad you asked the question, and I'm going to try to answer it in 10 minutes. Here we go. Why would hundreds of millions of believers lay their lives literally down to share this news? Why would hundreds of millions of other believers suffer persecution, the destruction of their property, the loss of their freedoms? There's tens of thousands of Chinese believers in prison today simply for this one reason. They refuse to shut up about the good news. Why? Why? I want you to ask yourself that question today. Why? And have I lost that kind of wonder over what God has done? Reason number one, it's so good. We covered it earlier. We were cut off. If the good news doesn't vibrate in your soul today, maybe it's because you're not very impressed with how cut off you were. Maybe you don't remember what it was like to live without eternal hope. Maybe you don't remember what it was like to live in confusion where you were pushed back and forth by every Facebook post in the world. Guys, The person sitting beside you was on their way to hell without Jesus. Hell. I know it's just a byword in our culture today. I know most people don't believe in hell, but Jesus did. We were lost. We were decaying like that finger cut off from life. That was me, that was you, that was anybody and everybody that's ever breathed breath. If this doesn't seem like terribly, terribly good news today, maybe you just forgot what He saved you from. We couldn't be good enough, we couldn't pay enough, we couldn't know enough. The second reason it's good news is because Jesus became the bridge, our access. It cost Him the incarnation in His life. And what's included in the package? You know, I may not look like it, but I'm about to turn 65. I think I'm doing pretty good. I am working out. And I kind of gave up sugar for a long time. I have to say, I fell off the wagon yesterday. Anyway, we won't go any further down that road. I fell off the wagon. I'm going to be back on the wagon today, though. I'm trying to take care of this physical body. But I am about to turn 65, and guess what I get? Anybody know? Any older folks know? I'm getting bombarded by insurance companies. They want me to get a Medicare Advantage plan. And boy, my mailbox is filling up, my physical snail mail and my email and my phone has got text messages from every insurance provider this side of China. We got one over here championing one of them. Listen, you know what? What you want to know from every insurance provider, and we got insurance people in the room, but you want to know what is included in the package, don't you? What's in the package? What's in the package? What's in the package? What's the deductibles? What's this? What's the premiums? What's this? What's that? What all does it cover? Does it cover vision? Does it cover medicine? Does it cover hearing? I need one for hearing. I just want to tell you what's in this package of the gospel this morning, because it's the best deal you'll ever get. It's unbelievably great. The first thing is this package of the gospel offers healing for the unhealable. It offers wholeness for the broken. This gospel package offers hope for the hopeless. This gospel package offers, as I said earlier, access to everything Jesus paid for on the cross. This package offers life and life more abundantly, like you always knew, even as a 3 or 4 year old, life shouldn't be like this if you suffered pain. I mean, you do realize this world is still twisted by sin. But this package offers freedom from the curse. Freedom from the curse of sin. Not only on the cosmos, one day there will be a new heaven and new earth where there will be no pain, no sorrow, no tears except tears of joy. There will be the time when there will be no maimed or lame or blind or deaf or dumb. There will be no dysfunction. There will be no disfigurement. There will be no sorrow. It will only be joy and light and love and goodness, and it will be infinite. Without end. Every other good news has a time expiration date on it. Even Lazarus was raised from the dead, but guess what? He's not still alive on this side of the grave. He ended up dying and stayed dead. This has no expiration date. Eternal opportunity and bliss, not partial or temporary. The way life was always meant to be, without limit. Anybody ever have limits when you were a kid? You can only have one of those. Anybody remember that? Oh, yeah, we got parents of young children here. You're always having, okay, you get one, you get one. Hey, kids like to come in my office and get these little mints. And some of them want to grab a handful and run with it. And I say, just one, just one, just one, just one. In this life, there's always limits. There's always limits to what you can experience, what you can absorb, there's always limits. We are limited in our nature, and nature is limited in what it can offer us. But can I tell you, one reason the good news is so awesomely good is because in eternity, there will be no limits of the life we can experience and the goodness we can explore and the infinite opportunities. I do not believe, and I don't see anything in Scripture says we're going to sit on a cloud and play a harp for a billion years. That is not the destiny God's got for you. I'll tell you, the destiny He's got for you is to explore His goodness and greatness and beauty and love and creativity and wisdom forever. And I will never get to the end of what we are able to explore. It will be a new adventure every day, if you can call it that, because the sun will be the light of that city without limits. I want the worship team to go ahead and come back. You know, our missionaries in Latin America particularly, because I've had this experience, they sum up the gospel this way. Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus is coming soon. Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus is coming soon. And for them, that sums up the message of the gospel. And can I tell you, whole nations have been impacted by that little moniker right there. Because it's true. And they understand the impact of the good news. Couple of more things why this is so good news. Here's the next one, and I got one more after this. It's free. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't smooth God enough to have Him offer. It is free. Not free to Him, free to you, free to me. We couldn't save ourselves. It's free to us. Listen. His life is free to me when I give Him unlimited access to my life. I want you to hear me, because we're bringing this plane in for landing here. I get the wonder of His infinite life. I get access to that when I give Him access to me. This is called repentance, by the way. Some people just want to add this eternal life package onto their otherwise independently, willfully run lives that they are in charge of. Please hear me. That is not the gospel. You cannot add the benefits of the gospel onto your life without repentance. You have to turn from your way to His way. And that automatically implies surrender of my way, my agenda, my desires. I have to surrender. He does not cut deals with any of us. He paid the ultimate price for your access and my access to all the glories of heaven. And there's only one bridge between us and that open wall. And it's what Jesus called the straight and narrow way, and few there be that find it. What is that straight and narrow way? His way. His way. Not compromised. No deals cut. He does not cut deals. You know what Jesus says? Come and die. Come and die. You want to follow me? Take up your cross, deny yourself. Because whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That is the deal. There is no other deal. Shaking the preacher's hand will not save you and give you this abundant life. Saying a prayer with your mouth will not save you. what saves you is when your heart says, He is the only way, and I'm going to do it His way, and I'm all in, and I am going to turn away from my attempts and my desires and my agenda, and I'm turning to Him with my whole being, and I'm going to put my life in His care and control and say, You are my salvation. That's what brings eternal life. That's what brings the joy of the gospel. That is what transforms a sinner loaded down with the chains of this life to becoming free. That's what heals a human soul from the brokenness of things done to us or things done by us. That's what sets the addict free. That is what brings joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I'm afraid and concerned that many times people think they just say some magic words and there's no heart change. There's no true dependence of faith that develops in them that says, You are the only hope I have and You are in charge. Repentance requires surrender, where everything's on the table and at His disposal. You're not sure it's worth that? Then you have not gotten to the point I made a while ago, how lost you really are. Surrender is based on trust in His ability and His love. And that dependence is the natural outcome. Our worldview, our lifestyle, our responses to everything should be wrapped around and filtered through the gospel of Jesus Christ. What happens when God is completely in charge at man's invitation? I'm just going to say that question again. What happens when God is put completely in charge at my invitation? Abundant life is what happens. And that's the only way it happens. That's the only way. Jesus, the final point of good news is this. Jesus went first. Jesus went first. He didn't wait until we were broken and sorrowful enough to come chasing Him. He chased us. You do realize that. At 7 years old, I gave my heart to Jesus. But can I tell you something? He was after me. He was after me. He was after you. If you're born again today and you're experiencing abundant life, the eternal life, He's after you. You didn't chase Him down and beg Him to save you. He chased you down and begged you to say yes so that you would experience what He died to buy you. Luke 19:10 says, For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. If your life has not been greatly enhanced by this good news, maybe you really never saw it as it is or received the whole package. Maybe you tried to access His treasure without giving Him full access to you. Maybe you haven't really surrendered, but just wanted to add this on as another benefit to a life you still control, direct, and benefit from. I want to just say this to you and we're going to pray. A half-surrendered life is a miserable life. I'm going to say it one more time. A half-surrendered life is a miserable life. The only way to be happy in Jesus, as the old hymn says, is to trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I'm going to give two appeals this morning. One is for that person that you don't know that you've ever entrusted your eternal destiny into the hands of Jesus. You might have prayed a prayer. You might have even got baptized. But you don't know there was ever a faith transaction in your heart where you took your life and you put it in His hands and you said, You are my salvation. I trust You with all that I am. Past, present, future, desires, dreams, agendas, mess ups, screw ups, sins, flaws, I put it all in your care and control, and you're it. If you've never made that decision, I just want to see your hand. You want to make it today. Anybody, I'm not going to ask you to bow your heads. One day you'll have to confess him in front of everybody. Anybody? We may all be believers here this morning. I can barely see the tops of their heads up there. I got to back up. Okay. That leaves all the rest of us. Does the good news grip your soul? Does the good news motivate you to tell somebody? Does the good news hold you like an anchor in the middle of the storm? Because some of you are going through storms right now, and we know that. We know that. Maybe somebody here, you made a confession of faith. You believe what I said is true, but you've really just added Jesus on as an extra benefit to your life. He's really not the center. None of us want to admit that. None of us want to admit that. And some of us, we may not even be aware of it in our soul, because it's so easy to shift my balance and lean on this foot or this foot. It's really that subtle. And sometimes I was leaning on Jesus with my whole heart, and now I'm leaning on my efforts. He wants you to learn to lean on his efforts all the time. I'll ask you to bow your head, because I know some of you are not going to raise your hands. You're not terribly gripped by the good news, but the Spirit of God is saying to you, hey, the pathway to living in the goodness of the good news is always repentance. Repenting of my way, dependence on my efforts, and depending on you. I want to say today, I want to make a turn today, and I want the gospel to burn inside me to the point that I've got to share it with somebody. And Lord, I repent of anything that has kept me from experiencing the fullness of what you bought by your blood on the cross. I just want to say, I want to turn today. I want to experience that fullness of joy the gospel brings. Anybody, raise your hand. I'm looking. Anybody? Yeah, I see that. Anybody else? Yeah. Anybody else? Anybody else over here? Anybody? Okay. Balcony. Okay, I see that. Would you stand with me? Some people here this morning need to let go of your idols. What is an idol? Anything you put more value on it than you do God's work in your life. Anything. We're going to pray here in just a minute, but I want to make a little announcement to you today. I want to give you an opportunity to demonstrate how powerful the gospel is. Are you ready for this? Easter morning, we're going to have two worship services instead of one. And we're going to do this as a gift to this community, because we believe we can bring more people to sit in these seats and hear the truth of the gospel and see lives changed. It's going to be a little more work for a lot of you folks that help us conduct these gatherings on Sunday. It's going to be a little more work. It's going to give people more options, though, that are not all the way in. You say, well, what time is that going to be? We'll be back with you with times. And we've got a plan, and we're going to work on this plan. This is not because we want to say we had two services. This is because I believe in the power of the gospel. And more people attend church on Easter than any other Sunday in the year. And I know many of your friends and family that really are not following Jesus just might receive and accept an invitation to be with you. And if all of your friends and family were here this morning, we would not be able to seat them. Does this stretch me? Yeah, but if you'll remember, and you've been around here a few weeks, I told you the word of God for this church for this year is stretch out of your comfort zone as a group and as individuals and see the wonders of the Lord. Just like the people of Israel had to step off that bank into the Jordan River before it would roll back. God wants us to stretch, not to say we're doing something different, but because people out there might come at your invitation to hear the gospel and encounter the resurrected Jesus. Do you believe that's the best news ever? Anybody? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. You believe it's the best news ever and that it will save your loved one or your friend or your fellow employee at work. You believe it'll save them from hell if they can hear it and receive the gospel. Amen? All right, raise your other hand and let's commit ourselves to fill up both of these services with people that need the gospel. Father, we commit ourselves to you today and we ask you, help us step out of our comfort zone as a church to make room for more hurting, lost, confused, searching people in this community. Lord, we know Easter is the most likely time they would come. So we offer this gift of a second service to this community for your glory. And we ask you, save lost people and use my invitation. Can you say amen to that prayer? Hallelujah.